The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander buttoning up his shirt. Pardon me. Just brief button up, Kelly. Kelly Bidlin.
I was having shirt struggles this morning, too. See, like, the collar's a little weird today. I don't know.
The issue is where the laptop hits the television screen.
And yeah, you always have the same issue.
Yeah.
I got dry cleaner issues.
What's wrong with the dry cleaner?
I don't know. Like, stuff comes back from the dry cleaner, and I'm like, why is this, like, collar, like, pressed differently or something like that?
It's just weird, man. I hope you get through it.
Yeah, I'll try.
Kelly's
like beyond first world problems right now.
Kelly's last day before he goes on a little vacation here on the show today. Zach and Crack, Zach Cohen on the tennis world and all his picks. NBA draft 6 days away. He's got thoughts. He's got bets on that. Matt Grissom will be here to talk College World Series with us. And, of course, Crack himself, unscripted with Crackman Bill Krakenberger. Speaking of the College World Series, Kelly, this might be a good moment in time because the theme of this, I don't know, not the sole theme, but one of the themes of this show, it seems like over the course of this week was we talked with Rufus about the scar tissue of bettors, and I often talk about overcoming negative variance in your betting. FSU goes down. They lose to Tennessee. Our futures go down. I had FSU at 35-1. They were terrible yesterday, by the way. They had base running errors left and right. They were just terrible. But that check swing that wasn't called back in the previous part of this bracket.
What, that makes a difference, Gil?
Maybe the complete difference in the entire thing. Because if they win that game, right, even if they have that terrible game yesterday, they got Jamie Arnold on the hill today, their ace going up against Tennessee for a chance to get to the College World Series final, best of three, which ends up being Tennessee versus Texas A&M. So congratulations to those who have those tickets still there. But, you know, that check swing is just one of those things where you just have to eat it as a bettor, right? You're just like, well, it happened. And that's that, and we'll never know. Doesn't guarantee they would have gotten
right,
to the finals,
of course, yeah.
But we'll never know. They were set up beautifully, let's put it that way. And so it got me to thinking, because that juxtaposed with a relentless stretch of women's tennis here in the last 3 days, where we're on the cusp of hitting at least two big dogs, if not three, and they all go by the wayside. It just occurred to me, why don't we do a little, because we don't often do this, but when you get in a stretch like this, and when you talk about overcoming negative variance, we're all human. I want to just put my money where my mouth is on this. Remember Drew Dinsick, our buddy Drew, who hit Yannick Sinner in the Australian Open, and then he hit the Celtics in the NBA Finals. But remember, everything in between, he was getting destroyed, and he was in this awful rut. And I just felt bad for Drew as he was doing it. So we just decided, last night, this morning, I'm like, let me try to think off the top of the dome. Like some of the stuff that we've lost here in the last year or so. Now, we can go back, right? If you're just landing on this show in the last year or two, like you won't remember Tankapalooza or Swiatek in the French Open or the Washington Nationals or even 2022. Let's go as far back as a year and a half to 2.5 years ago. 2022. What is Trump's line? We're going to do so much winning, you're going to get sick of it. 2022 was that for us. And that was still when, like, let's just get to tennis. We'll start there, right? Swiatek was still, like, plus 750. She was plus 750 in the in Indian Wells. Hit that four times, plus 480. We hit all those.
God, it seems so long ago
now. It's just two years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Swiatek in the Miami Open the next week, plus 450. Hit that four times. Hit plus 350 two times. So we're just 200, plus 180. Literally the only one in minus money at minus 107, hit all those. NFL draft, 13.77 units. Remember, Derek Stingley going third was the big linchpin there. First cornerback selected and third overall pick.
Back when NFL draft betting was prime.
Was wonderful. The French Open that year, right? Swiatek, the most dominant thing in life is her, the French Open. She was plus 450. We hit that three times. NBA title, Warriors plus 550. This is all in 2022. NBA draft number one pick, Banchero, 7-1 and 6-1. College World Series, Ole Miss, 100-1. U.S. Open, Swiatek, she won it, 7-1. And then the Atlanta Braves, people remember when they were behind the Mets down the stretch of that pennant race in the NL East, hit them at plus money 17 different times. 2022 was a complete windfall. And the
Was that 2022 or last summer?
That was 2022. All of that that I just mentioned was 2022. So not last year, the year before.
Man, time flies.
Okay. So it's as if the gambling gods, and this is, again, if you're going to be, and I want to say it while I'm in the moment because, again, I got to practice this just like anybody else, even if I've been doing it for since the dawn of time. You get in these ruts, though, and sometimes they stretch where you're like, you're not going to let that happen again, ever, gambling gods? So now we've had our wins, right? Carolina last winless, 15-1. Iga every which way. We just hit Iga Alcaraz, Kinyella at the French Open. But
real quick, what was your biggest single tournament that you won the most on Iga? Like all time?
2020 French Open.
2020 French
Even
Open.
Even with the one spot, you know, just absolutely not paying out, it was still the biggest thing. Yeah. I'm sorry, why did that come up organically? So now here are the you did it, not me.
It took me a second too.
That's like where you
I was like what? What?
Yeah, Kelly's like laying up the softball. But here are this is the stretch since then of some of this stuff. Well, let me go back to one in 2021. Juan Soto, NL MVP, 150-1 odds in 2021. He loses to Bryce Harper in the vote 348-274. That's a 150-1.
Yeah,
all right, but let's go since that 2022 year. Max Duggan Heisman, 100-1. He loses, and he should have lost, to Caleb Williams. The final vote, 2031-1420, in terms of the whole vote. Okay. Spencer Strider, by the way, you remember that last year. He didn't even get to the final, so we can't mention that.
What a bet on Duggan, though. Like, that is one of the... Like, who would have ever thought he would have been there?
I'm just telling you, the theme of the last year and a half, generally, we've had our wins, but generally is great bets that just don't get there, right? Brock Purdy. Remember Brock Purdy for MVP? He got to, people forget, minus 250 before that Baltimore game, and then in one fell swoop, done. I'm not even saying he deserved to win it, but I'm just saying these were bets that, at long odds, had their moment. Puka Nacua, 25-1, Offensive Rookie of the Year. We'll never forget that. He probably should have lost to C.J. Stroud, because Stroud, any other year, right? 246-154 in the vote.
That was, I'll almost always say quarterback's going to have a leg up.
Yeah.
Stroud was that good. Like, yeah. Almost any other year, Puka's winning that award.
I'm just talking about, these are like, you have to be able to just endure these, right? Victor Wembanyama, let's get more recent. Victor Wembanyama, 18-1. People had him at way longer than I did for Defensive Player of the Year. He loses to Gobert 433-245. And I think the entire world, including those that voted for Gobert, have admitted, yeah, we got that wrong. By the way, Damar Hamlin, they're already changing the rules on that, too.
Yeah, right.
Guardian, 65-1, most wins, March, April, famously one out away. We didn't get there. I would argue Guardians in May at 16-1 was even a worse beat because they went 2-5 against the White Sox and the Rockies. You're sensing a theme here, right? FSU, 35-1, check swing might have changed the entire destiny of FSU. And then I just want to take the last 3 days in women's tennis. Can we just do that? The most recent of all. Heather Watson, 2 days ago. Plus 180, up 5-2 in the third set. Gags it. Victoria Golubich yesterday, plus 225. Up 6-4, 5-4 on a racket. Gags it. Ekaterina Alexandrova this morning, up 6-3 in the first set tiebreaker against Coco, loses the next 5 points. So I'm just saying, like, at certain points in your sports betting life, if you do this long enough, this is going... Maybe not to this degree with all of these plus money bets that are really long shot bets, but are like clearly were great by the number, but just didn't get there. You have to endure it. And you will go through moments where you're like, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
I can't take this anymore. But that's where we are right now.
I think it happens to me every single NBA season, pretty much. Like, at one point in the NBA season, I'm like, all right, I always hit a hot streak for a couple weeks, but sometimes it's long, but there's always like a 2-3 week stretch where you're like, I'm just getting my face kicked in, right?
And here's the thing, and we're not mining coal here, so let me just say that up front, right? We're sitting at a shield at a corner bar on the second floor of a downtown hotel.
A grandfather mined coal.
That's right. Oh, did he?
He did. He did? Yes, he
grandfather
did.
Grandfather mined coal?
Yes, in the Great Mountains of Pennsylvania.
My grandfather had a little more difficult than that. But that's a different story. So anyway, the The point is that, where was I going with this? Oh, I don't think our bosses, right? I'm not casting dispersions here, but I don't think they get that you in golf, me in tennis, right? We are handicapping this thing daily, right? And then if you win, awesome. But you're going to lose. And if you lose in a relentlessly horrific fashion like these, again, these aren't Purdue at minus 4,500. These are plus money bets that you're, know are long shots, but they're good bets either. I don't think, they get the compartmentalization that has to happen. Then we come in here and still knock it out. But I'm just saying, because we were talking about scar tissue with Rufus, and I was talking about him versus his brother, and we were talking about, Dr. Bob, if you ask him, what's the key to being a successful better long-term? He says, overcoming negative variance. And the counter to this would be, oh, well, those women's tennis matches, you should realize that those girls are all going to gack it at the end. Well, no, you shouldn't. you shouldn't realize that. Like, eventually, those are supposed to get home.
Every one of those matches, you could take a small piece of the other side live at plus money. But, like, what are you doing in
unless
the long run?
Unless you're doing a show.
But that's not something you would normally do anyway.
No. Like, what are we talking about? Absolutely not. Yeah. And you wouldn't in those positions either. Yeah. Anyway, that's our I'm sensitive to the fact, because Wishnev does this every night when he loses a WNBA bet.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to do it over the course of a year, all those long shots that we
I think it's a great topic, and it's something that, like, the mental side of it you have to be aware of. And, like, I mean, seriously, this is I can't remember ever seeing Drew as shook as he was, points this year.
Yeah.
And then, like, Jason yesterday, those back-to-back golf weeks that he had.
Brutal.
Those singularly are losses bad enough to, like, make you take the rest of the season.
And we're the ones with the scar tissue. Imagine if you don't have them. We'll come back. Zach Cohen on tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Next week, we're releasing our NFL betting guide. This guide is your ultimate resource for the football season. That's the football season, packed with detailed team, division, and conference analyses. And, of course, best bets for the upcoming NFL season. To get the guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. Right now, you can sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down for the regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free. With a VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you the upper hand all year long. Don't miss your chance to sign up and save ahead of the NFL season. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. And use promo code ANG to claim your discount bonus month.
ANG, like a numbers game.
A new gift. That is VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code ANG. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Brian Morianin. He says, if Kelly's grandfather went a little further south and mined a certain green clay, he would own the D.
I could be rich as hell. What the heck?
That's your grandfather doing. Master of Puppets, great segment right now. But you did hit Ole Miss at 100-1. Oh, we mentioned that for 2022. Chris Heath, Kelly, so much more than a producer today. The Westgate scandal, Gil's grandfather, it's all in there. Kelly just serving it up. Ladies and gentlemen, he's part of the Zach and Crack duo that rivals Hall and Oates for top 10 smashes over the years. Zach Cohen, VSiN senior writer, who joins us. Betting on X is his Twitter handle, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Zach?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Well, besides gacking tennis matches of plus 180 and plus 225 and plus 160, I can't think of anything else. How about you? How are you doing?
Doing well. I've been having some fun with this grass season so far. I mean, I do have an Alcaraz parlay in right now, and it looks like he's about to lose to Draper. But at the same time, right after the French Open, I wrote up a Wimbledon preview, and I gave out Draper at 100-1. I think now he's down to 40-1.
Do you think he's live to win? In other words, I got a question from, I think it was Velika yesterday. Yes. He was like, do you think Draper can make a run? I said, yes. He said, do you think he can win it? I said, I don't know. You do.
That's kind of a...
Yeah.
That's exactly what I wrote in my thing. Like, I don't know for sure that he can win, but I think he has the potential to make a very deep run. And at that point, you're looking at probably some really good prices to hedge. Or if you see, you get a little bit of luck elsewhere in the draw, maybe he can win. I do think that Wimbledon, of all the majors, is going to be the one that's most open as we go into the Alcaraz and Sinner era.
Yeah. I would say that on the women's side, I guess, is kind of in open in quotes, meaning we could get any number of ladies winning this.
Yeah, but I also took Iga for this one too, because I feel like it's kind of gone a little like unnoticed. But you know, Iga's hold percentage is way up this year. All of her numbers across the board are honestly more impressive this season than they've ever been, which is scary for a player that has dominated the women's game in general. But also, you know, she's spoken a lot about the way she's tailored her game for faster surfaces. You know, she's really worked on her serve. She's sped up her forehand. I think that she's trying to do, you know, make a dent in these quicker surfaces. So I think Wimbledon, U.S. Open, I think she's going to be really locked in.
I bet her yesterday after saying that I might not, and but then she came out and she made those comments. She's like, look, me transitioning to clay is super easy, meaning in this case the Olympics right afterwards. And when she said that, I kind of nodded. I was like, oh yeah, so she is going to be full throttle at Wimbledon. She's never won a grass tournament on the main tour ever in all of her 22. None of them are on grass, but it would it shock anyone to see her win this? It wouldn't me. So I bet her yesterday. What number did you get?
I think it was like plus 360. I'm not sure if I remember that correctly.
Plus 378 is what I got off.
Okay, yeah, so that's probably what I got.
Yes. So, yeah, I took a flyer on it too. Now, would I be shocked if a Rybakina or a Sabalenka won on this surface? I would not either. What? How many players total do you think could possibly win on the women's side? Did I just name the three, or are there more?
I think that there's a bunch, honestly. Like, I think that any of the big servers can kind of get hot and potentially win this tournament. Like, I put Osaka in as a player to watch. I mean, that hasn't really looked great to start the grass season. She hasn't looked, you know, like she's built any momentum off of that French Open performance against Iga. But I do think this is a tournament that she can win. And I guess there are, I mean, a few others. I'm kind of blanking right now. I mean, I would have said like a Caroline Garcia in a different year, not this year. Maybe like a Madison Keys goes deep in the tournament. But I think a player with a lot of power can get hot on the right day and win any match.
Would you, on the men's side, would you rather have Draper, or would you rather have a serve bot like a Milos Raonic?
I'd rather have Draper, but I did also in that same column, I put in Hubie Hurkacz and Taylor Fritz, two guys that I think can potentially make deep runs. And I have Fritz to win Queen's Club. So yeah, hopefully for the best there.
There you go. Okay. Anything else in tennis today that you have? Any bets?
I have Brandon Nakashima to beat Lorenzo Musetti, and I also have Jean-Leonard Struff to beat Stefanos Tsitsipas. I just think that, you know, Musetti's a player that I really like. I back him all the time, honestly, probably a little too much, but I think there's a little too much flash in his game. Nakashima plays a much more straightforward style. He has a little bit of a better serve, a more sturdy baseline game. I like his two-handed backhand. And then with Struff, I mean, I just haven't been impressed with Tsitsipas lately. I thought that match against Squire in the first round was really, you know, kind of concerning. I thought that he should be able to break serve against a player like that. And if he's struggling to do so in that type of match, I don't see him breaking against Struff. So I think that's a match that we probably see a tiebreaker or two. But I trust Struff to get the job done on this surface. He's a really good quick court player as well.
Yeah, I have Jan-Lennard Struff today as well. That was my second pick on VSiN.com/picks. Again, Zach's tennis picks, all of his picks, every host, every guest on the network, every sport for VSiN subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. I, too, am on Struff, which means in the current pocket that I'm in, Zach, we'll get it to one game within a victory, and then God knows what could happen at that point. All right, here's the NBA draft thing. The Atlanta Hawks, remember, they won the number one overall pick despite having the 10th best odds. You came on this show some time ago and said you are taking, you're going to take a flyer on Klingon, Donovan Klingon, to go number one. Now, their early target was, by all reports, Alexander Saar, but it seems like he's not trying to work out with them, despite the Hawks' attempts to bring him in. And so what you have now in the market is Zachary Risache and Klingon. They have moved up. They're shorter. This is according to Jonathan Gavoni. You're feeling good about this, I would imagine. So it's Saar at minus 115. This is to go number one. Zachary Risache, both the French players at plus 110.
Flip now? Yeah, Risache is the favorite as of this morning at minus 115.
Okay, so Risache, the slight favorite, Saar, the slight dog, and then Klingon at plus 370. This going to happen for you?
I hope so. Yeah, I gave out Klingon at plus 1,100 and plus 1,200. Now it's looking like it's Risache or Klingon. I think the problem with the Hawks is they have a lot of voices in their front office, and you kind of don't know who's going to get to make the pick. And so I kind of the whole time said, if Quinn Snyder, the head coach, has any say in this pick, I think he's going to go Klingon because I don't think he wants to go through a long rebuild. I think he wants somebody that can anchor that defense and really, you know, kind of make up for Trae Young's inability to guard the perimeter. Klingon can do that. I think Klingon is a player that's a lot like, you know, a Rudy Gobert, maybe more like a Marc Gasol, just a guy that can really just be a massive body in the paint, contests every shot. But then offensively, he's a really good passer. Apparently, he's shooting the three ball really well in workouts. I mean, which is not that surprising if you just look at the way he shoots the ball. Like, he has really nice form. So I think if he's a guy that is making shots consistently and you're comfortable with it in the way he's shooting the ball in workouts, like, it makes a lot of sense to grab him at one in a weak draft, because I do think he has all defense upside, and whatever he can do on offense is just gravy.
What are you seeing in terms of the breadth of the menu here for the draft itself?
I like this draft a little bit better than most people do, but I think that because I write about the draft, I just kind of like fall in love with players that maybe other people wouldn't. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of value to be had later in the draft, and I do think that we're going to get, you know, a few all-stars in this draft. I just kind of think that it's inevitable that some players in the draft will turn into an all-star. This one is one where there are players with all types of upside, maybe have some concerns with shooting or something like that, but, you know, most of these teams can figure something like that out.
Yeah, DraftKings has a ton posted.
DraftKings has a ton.
They keep putting more and more stuff up. It's really impressive. To that point, Zach, I mean, hey, we all thought the Anthony Edwards draft was going to be terrible, and he's looking pretty good right now.
I think the consensus is it's just not top-heavy, right? But there are a lot of good players in this draft. Just doesn't have the superstar here. By the way, when Nevada gets legalized sports betting, I'm sure we're going to have at least one NBA draft prop. Where do you fall on Bronny?
I like Bronny a little bit. I think he's going to be, you know, potentially a solid rotation player. Like, I don't think he should go 17 to the Lakers. I don't think the Suns should take him at 22. But I think in the second round, he's a decent value. Like, I think that people ignore about Bronny is that he was like the 20th ranked player in his high school class. And, you know, was above players, like right in the range of a player like Reed Shepard, who's now projected to go top five in this draft. I think that Bronny is a talented player that had a really tough go in college. I think that people ignore kind of the fact that he went into cardiac arrest, you know, in the summer, got off to a slow start where he really wasn't able to ramp up for training camp. They played him, you know, short minutes when he started the season out. And he was playing for a USC team that had a bunch of ball dominant guards. So I don't think that, you know, getting him good looks from three was, you know, a priority for the USC offense. I think that Bronny's a player that can defend on the perimeter, can hit the three. I kind of think he's like a Deuce McBride type, where you're going to like him coming off the bench.
Do you have any bets on him? Are you, Kelly, either? Either of you guys? Nothing.
I took the under on that 38.5.
Okay.
I don't know how good I feel about it right now, because, you know, yesterday Rich Paul came out and said that he's not going at 17. He's not going at 22. So that was kind of my theory, is that he had a draft promise somewhere in the first round. But at the same time, he kind of threw out there that the Raptors are interested. They have a pick in the 30s. So I still can see him going, you know, 38 or earlier.
All right, Zach. Good luck with Klingon. Good luck with tennis. Wimbledon draw, what do we think of the 29th of June? Like, I think it might be a weekend, right?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to doing that pod with you.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough pre-draw pod, as though, is what it's going to be. Thank you, Zach. I look forward to that. Enjoy, man.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X, Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back with Matt Grissom on college baseball on the other side.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada, the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Barcanada, the Barrage. We get tweets of beating the book. Best listeners in the game, Martle J, Gil's grandpa, 1, Kelly's grandpa, 0. I'll leave it at that.
Jesus.
It's the stupidest thing getting traction. Colin Murphy, great segment. Everyone goes through their ups and downs, but when it comes to the tennis bets, wouldn't it make sense to put a half unit or a little more on the spread and half unit on the money line to mitigate the negative variance on some of these? Some of these, yes, Colin, but the issue with tennis is the mental aspect of it. Let's take this morning's. Ekaterina Alexandrova up 6-3 in the tiebreaker, first set tiebreaker against Coco. On her serve, right? So she gets up 2 mini breaks. So she ends up losing at 8-6. And then you know, if you've, you know, been betting this long enough, or you're watching this, you know very well, that the mental aspect of this just crumbles someone where that happens to. So, of course, she then, you know, at that moment, not only is she losing the match, but it's not going to be competitive. And so she ends up losing that second set 6-2. So she doesn't cover the game spread either. So there's a lot of that in tennis, too. So it's not quite as simple as you're making it out. Not that you're making it out to be, but I think you're right that in some cases, I guess what I'm saying is it will work out. But in others, it just, it doesn't. And so I've had success just playing the money line on the dog. This is from Brandon Kyles. The super long shots not getting home are one thing, but the robberies particularly sting. Hamlin, comeback player of the year. He says, Jokic 2023 MVP. Oh, well, such is life when betting on subjective markets. Yes, and we know that about awards markets specifically.
I was going to say overall, great point, but I think that's even, it's like long shots are in a category, and we need to start separating awards into a separate category
100%,
as well.
100%.
Is that it? Like, it is... I mean, we talk about them a lot. We understand it's partially for the content, partially because we think there's interesting betting angles. But there is how many times where you think you've got it dead on, and it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It matters what 11 people voting at the end of a game think.
And Phil Weiss continues to hate listen to us every day, every single word. Finds bad and only the good.
Obsessed with this picture from John Balduzzi.
Okay, and then John Balduzzi, oh my God, because we talked about Rufus yesterday, the other day.
The ultimate picture out of the plane.
From a middle seat, he said. Rufus flying into London, you know, leans over whoever poor soul was in the window
who
seat.
Who does that?
Goes bang, and he gets this big, this beautiful picture of the river and London Bridge, I believe. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
The River Thames?
The River Thames. Right, and London Bridge.
Could have
also
been any river.
The London Eye. I don't know if he got the eye in there. I'm actually hyping up his picture a little more than it was. But then John Balduzzi just took one. He goes, ask what Gil's biggest ego win was. Too soon, man, too soon. And he goes, also per last week, rate my landing picture. So he is land. This is from a plane over D.C.
Gave it an 8.7 out of 10.
I'm going to tell you about that. We got to show this picture. We got to put this up next segment. But he's got the Lincoln Memorial in the foreground, right? Then he's got the basin between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument. No building in D.C. can be higher than the Washington Monument. And then
I didn't know that.
Then that stretch to the Capitol, the United States Capitol. And then deep, deep, deep in the background behind the United States Capitol, this is where only the educated DCI will be able to pick this up, RFK Stadium.
Oh!
Theater of Thrills. Home of the three-time Super Bowl champion Washington Redskins. Great job, John Balduzzi. You're in first place with your
picture. Is that the big, like, white thing past it?
No, that's that, like, thing in the – see, way past the Capitol.
Yeah. I know. That's what I'm talking about. So I looked up. There is – I was asking. I was like, what's this construction going on in this picture?
At the Lincoln Memorial?
There is construction going on at the Lincoln Memorial. I just Googled it. The Undercroft, apparently. There's an Undercroft at the Lincoln Memorial that is being renovated.
Define Undercroft.
I have no idea. Underneath the Lincoln, underneath a memorial of some kind.
Right, we got to get that picture up. And you know what else? What other picture we have to get up? Roxy sent me a picture of him in a top hat. Remember, I was questioning Rufus. Rufus was like, "Yeah, Roxy's in a top hat at you know, the horse races in England." I'm like, "I got to get it." So Roxy sent me one. So we got to show him that.
Baller move. You can pull that off.
Matt Grissom joins us right now. He never wears a top hat. He joins us from Arkansas College. BaseballInsiders.com, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. Had a little trip out to Omaha. Saw some really good baseball. I can't complain.
Oh, you went. I missed that somehow.
I went for the first time. I was there until, I guess, Tuesday. I ran into Derek Stevens and the crew from Circa out there.
Yeah.
And we saw a lot of great baseball.
I have always wanted to go. You finally hit that bucket list item. Where does it rank for you in terms of sporting events attended?
I think it's number one. I mean, and I love college baseball, but that was an experience unlike any other. Getting to sit there with all these different fan bases, and, you know, I'm a diehard Razorback fan, so with them not even being there and having this much fun, I can't wait until the Hogs finally make it back, because – that's just going to exemplify it even more. But it was a great experience.
I like your College Baseball Insiders hat. Looks just like an L.A. Raiders hat. Was that by intention?
I'm a big fan of Titleist, the golf brand.
Oh, okay, there you go.
The script idea, yeah.
Same font. Did you go and the College Baseball World Series, for those who don't know, in Omaha. So it is eight teams. And it is just absolutely great. Yesterday, I mean, I know you weren't there yesterday, but yesterday was just this awesome day of three games because of a rainout the night before. Do you think Florida, before we get into your thoughts about Tennessee and Texas A&M here in the College World Series final best of three, do you think that rainout really was fair ultimately to, I mean, I guess they couldn't have played it anyway, but they called it so early in the day, right? The FSU North Carolina game was going on and they're like, yeah, we're done. So Florida, if you're going to get to the finals, you're going to have to win twice in one day. Was that fair Could they have done anything about it? Probably not, I'm guessing, but I'm getting your thoughts on that. And then Florida going up 7-1 yesterday in the early game, did they mismanage anything, having lost ultimately in the second game?
I don't think so. I mean, the weather's always an issue in Omaha. We saw them play in that super late game that didn't start till, I think, 11:30 Eastern. We didn't leave the ballpark that night. They lost to A&M 3-2. We didn't leave the ballpark until about 1:30 in the morning. So Florida kind of got the brunt of it as far as playing. Texas A&M, that just kind of goes to show the benefit of going up through the winner's bracket. You know, them and Tennessee, they're both sitting there at 3-0. They never had to throw off their typical rotation. So I think Florida, they were put, you know, in the back seat once they lost that first game to A&M. And same could be said for Florida State after the controversial loss to Tennessee in that game one.
Yeah.
Blake Burke did go around. That was not just a check swing, but it is what it is. And now you've got the two best teams in the field facing off. But yeah, to go back for Florida, I don't think there's anything you could have done differently. Some teams really like playing a doubleheader. You're out there, you're loose, especially when you turn it on against Kentucky, you know, and the bats really get going. So I liked Florida headed into that game, but you could tell pretty early on that it was A&M's to lose, and I chickened out of my Florida +1.5 bet, jumped on A&M live. I didn't feel like Florida had the pin to sit there and be able to contend with A&M.
Yeah, well, FSU didn't have the pin to contend with Tennessee either, but for sure that check swing could have changed history because they would have had Jamie Arnold on the hill today against Tennessee, and we will never know. We will never know the outcome. So the Noles and those of us who had tickets on it, we're just left with that. As far as the best of three finals, Tennessee is the rightful favorite. They are trying to be the first number one overall, man, to get to the promised land, to win the College World Series since Texas in 2010. We have not seen that since then. Tennessee's lineup just absolutely stacked. They're a -210 series favorite. Again, best of three. This starts on Saturday with game one. Texas A&M +170 on the series. And as far as game one is concerned, Tennessee -154, Texas A&M +120 on the comeback. How do you see either game or series?
You know, I'm rooting for Tennessee. I wrote up in the VSIN college baseball preview that I thought these would be the last two teams left. And if you believed in the curse of the number one overall seed, you should back Texas A&M. I just don't know. I think the blow of losing Braden Montgomery and Shane Sadow, I think that's going to come back to haunt them. Granted, it didn't hurt them at all through the first week of the College World Series. I think AJ Causey, Chris Stamos, the opener, you know, full slate guy for Tennessee, kind of their ace that doesn't start versus Ryan Prager is going to tell us a lot in game one. If you like A&M to win this, I feel like your best shot is with Prager on the mound. So maybe just take the +120 in game one. But for Tennessee, this is a stacked team. We've seen guys run through walls for Tony Vitello, literally. This team is just playing out of their minds right now. They've got the pitching depth. Their lineup is so stacked. And while A&M's scores didn't jump off the page, kind of like Tennessee's did, A&M rightfully deserved to be here, and they're going to give it all they've got. But Ryan Prager, then Justin Lampkin, if he can repeat his success that he had in the first week of the College World Series, we'll see. They're going to need it. But I think this is Tennessee's to lose at this point.
I think you're right. And I think FSU is the only team that could have beaten them. I really do. We shall see. This should be fun. Matt, have appreciated you. Both of us have the whole way through. Thanks for making the time again.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Matt Grissom, collegebaseballinsiders.com. Analytics College Baseball. We'll talk AL and NL MVP next.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin on his way to Austin, Texas, right in the heart of a tropical storm. Not the heart, because it's not on the coast, but you get the idea. It's still going to be inclement weather. Dustin Sweetelson will be in with me tomorrow. Very excited.
Overall, great guy.
Great. Overall, great guy. Steve Fezzik on the show tomorrow for a few segments. So look forward to that. I hope you have safe travels. I know that's not the only place you're going. So we'll
bounce around. Should be some good time off.
All right. It's the second hour of the Thursday show. You know what that means. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Billy.
Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
How are we doing?
We're doing.
Good.
What, is this a new ensemble you got here? A little black stripe thing?
You know, there's this company that sells these shirts. I don't know the name of it. It's a Cuban shirt. It's a Cubavera, the name of it. So they sell these shirts, and if I like a certain shirt, I'll buy many of them.
Oh.
This is the one that I actually bought like four of. But yeah, this is like one of the first times.
You said it's a Cubavera?
C-U-B-U-E-R-A. Cubavera.
Because yeah, that's a play on Guayabera.
And right, yeah. Exactly. There
that's
you go.
Right, that's
and
right.
And to be honest with you, I cannot believe how reasonable I'm doing an advertisement here for them.
Yeah.
How reasonable the shirts are.
All
because
right.
If you go to like DXL, which like sells these for like $90 or $80, you can go to the Cubavera site and get them for $30. So
very nice.
Yeah, getting some value. Not really trying to get value, trying to get some different options because they only have so many in the store.
Do you have a closet where these are color coordinated?
I can't believe you're saying that.
Yeah.
I do. I have a walk-in closet where I have black ones on the top,
yeah.
Then this black ones on the second row, but the next section is blue ones, which I have less. So I only wear black and blue normally.
Does the wife ever say to you, Billy, would you wear something different today? Does
no.
She ever? No, she never does.
No.
Okay.
No. She's pretty good. But, you know, I do like these it's just comfortable t-shirt and a dress down
okay.
Button down shirt.
These are cheap,
especially in the summer.
Right, Bill.
Yeah. Kelly wears a
I'm on the site right now.
Kelly wears some nice colorful ones.
Yeah.
DXL gets my business, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean I go there too. But I do like to go the Cuba Vera site's the best. You're gonna order some now. You're gonna
check
we're gonna come in and we're gonna be the Bopsy twins next week.
Full linen suits. We should get matching ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you wear the Kangol, you're good.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
can't pull off that look. Come on, it's a signature look.
What's been going on with in general this past week now after the NBA? Now, what do you guys both do? Do you guys go to – I know you bet tennis, but do you go to betting more baseball or
– No.
No?
No. I had my many, many years of betting baseball every single day, so I don't necessarily have a base. I have baseball bets going, right, like a June bet on the Astros, which
okay.
will update tomorrow. So I have that, but like the days of me banging my head against the wall betting baseball every day, I don't do that. So I'm betting tennis every day. We had a College World Series bet that just lost. We have baseball, but it is sparse, sparser, obviously. And this is that time of year. But coming up, Wimbledon, we have the Open Championship in golf. And we have the Olympics as well, which a lot of people bet on. So
gotcha.
I mean,
sports are so much better in Europe right now.
Yeah.
Like over the summer. Like yeah. You got the Euros, you got Wimbledon.
Tour de France.
Open. Tour de France.
Drew's all
some.
Up in that.
Are you guys happy? Like less than 6 weeks, the opening.
It's amazing.
The opening preseason football game. I know it's like a week in between the rest of them, but like I think it's like the 30th or the 1st is the first game.
Are you huge on preseason?
Yeah, I wish it was more preseason and less regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah, preseason's been really, really good the last couple years.
That's information-based.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's listen, it's not – I hate when people say, inside information. Give me a break.
It's all out there.
If you just – it's out there. If you just follow beat reporters, look at different people on social media, you know what I mean?
It's a Googling contest.
Yeah. Can I Twitter better than
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
I like that. It's a Googling contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I am betting some things. Yesterday, I was over at at South Point last
yeah.
week.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday. And even for the last weeks, actually, since I was in Florida and stuff, now I'm doing a lot of NFL futures, betting, teams to over-under season wins, betting some teams to win.
Do you remember what you bet?
Yesterday, I bet I went down over. Went to South Point. Went to lunch actually with Jimmy and Chris and Vinny yesterday, and who else? There was a bunch of guys there. Sharapan showed up many hours late. But
yeah. Sorry, Dave, he took a shot at you. I didn't know it was coming.
No.
I didn't know it was coming. I would have stopped it.
Ooh, the customer left the window that was screaming and yelling. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
You want a bottle of water?
Sigma Derby's getting very emotional over there.
Yeah. Rob Meach, who I like, a reporter from that writes for Chicago Sun Times News. He was there. I had my podcast partner John Orlando there.
Wow, what a lunch this
was! It turned out to be like it was supposed to be like five of us. Mergers set it up. John Mergers, he was there, and it wound up being like eight of us. But
Where'd you go? Who paid?
Where?
Where'd you go?
Just to the cafe there. Cafe.
Oh, at the South Point.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
At the South Point.
That little one by the sports book?
Silverado.
Silverado.
No, is that what it's? No, it's called something else. It's a cafe. By the way, it's 24-hour coffee. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
For old school guys.
Yeah.
It's a coffee shop. Yeah. 24 hours.
Yeah.
You know, after midnight, steak and eggs, like $6.
I couldn't count the number of breakfast burritos I've had there.
Yeah. So I went there, and I strategically sat right by Chris and Vinny. And Jim. I wanted to hear Coronado. That's it.
Coronado.
To hear some stories, and sure enough, wow, Jimmy threw some great stories out there. Chris threw some great stories out there. I love those old times. That's why his books are great.
Oh, so
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, especially his first book. So, yeah.
And he's looking, by the way,
Looking
for a publisher. If you can get Chrissy a publisher, let's do it.
Right. Oh. My man is cursing and screaming. Are they yelling at the Sigma Derby.
Yeah, they're very angry at the horsies.
Oh, my God. He just said, get your A up there. Your ass. Look, my man. All right.
Bill said A, then went ahead and doubled it.
Oh, did I? Okay. Sorry. So anyway, I did go over there and I asked Chris. I said, Chris, can I bet like a large amount on these season win totals? He goes, yeah, sure. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times standalone properties – it's tough to book, just to one customer, especially you got a rogue line. So they had the Raiders under 7 minus 20. So that was a good line to bet the under on.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine back east sent it to me. And I thought it was a good play. So I bet it there, and they took a good bet on it. And he said, then he came out after and went to lunch. He said, you're the second person that bet that now this week. So obviously we have the 7 is a tough number because it's 6.5, under 6.5 plus juice. Obviously, the 7's better because they have to beat me with 8 wins.
Is that essentially what you're doing? You're looking for rogue lines at this point. It's not really a handicap.
No, that's a handicap.
Yeah,
that's a handicap because the person I know that under 6.5 plus juice too. I bet something else yesterday too. Hold on, what else did I bet? The Eagles to win their division. I'm not trying to say, but look, come on. Washington and the Giants have no chance, right?
Bill's apologizing to me as it's coming out.
I
wouldn't say no chance.
Really?
But okay.
All
sure.
right. They're like 12-1. They were like 12. But the Westgate had plus 125 on that.
There is a world where that happens, by the way. If Jaden Daniels is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
There is a world. But you're right. Okay, Philly. Yes, you bet Philly to win the division.
Thank God.
It's more about Philly being good and Dallas possibly being a step back.
I think security showed up. Thank God. But we need you, sir, because there's a lot of action going on up here. But anyway, yeah. So I guess the only other thing is Dallas.
Yes.
Is Dallas. And Dallas is they were plus like 105 and they had plus 125 and Circa had plus 120. So they both got some bets yesterday on that Eagles to win the division.
What were the Eagles prices?
Plus 125 at Westgate, plus 120 at Circa.
So this has been this Philly-Dallas NFC East thing has been the dynamic for a lot of years.
That's
now.
Right.
And the question always comes up, you know, if your bankroll is big enough, maybe it's worth it. Do you just bet them both at plus money? If you really believe that Washington and the Giants have no chance whatsoever, do you bet them both at plus money?
Probably a good bet.
Yeah,
probably a good bet. But you know, I'd rather go with the one I really think is going to win.
Yeah.
The Eagles and stick with that one. Gil, you said it right. I don't think there's any world that the Giants can do anything, even though they're third choice. Washington's actually fourth choice.
Yeah.
I'm anti Giants this year.
Yeah. I don't see a world where they do. But, you know, again, this is the one division, right, where it's a different division winner every single year since, what is it, 21 years now in a row, I believe?
Wow.
Don't hold me to that
exactly.
The
streak's still going.
Wow.
I think it is, right?
Streak is still going, yes?
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is now you have to take into consideration you have to tie up your money for 6 to 8 months, and it's not, you know. man, it's loud up here today. I mean, can we go over to Circa? Could DraftKings put us at Circa?
It was Cowboys last year. It was Eagles the year before, Kelly. So yeah, streak still lit.
So back to 2004.
Bill said out loud, the silent part out loud. Could we show Roxy? This is our buddy, Roxy Roxborough.
Wow, look how cool he looks.
Roxy Roxborough, the founder of Las Vegas Sports Consultants. I was talking with Rufus earlier this week, and Rufus happened to mention, yeah, I'm going to meet Roxy out here. Roxy's attending the Royal Ascot horse races, or as Ron Flatter pronounces it, Royal Ascot. So I don't know if that's the way to pronounce it or if that's Ron mimicking a British accent, an English accent, because he does that with Melbourne also.
Yeah, we got to get out to this.
I'm like, Ron, it's Melbourne. It's Melbourne, Gil. That's how the natives pronounce it. Okay? But you are not a native. So here's Roxy Roxborough with the top hat, no monocle, just the bifocal. And that's Roxy having a good time at the horse races.
Wow. He's dressed so well there. Is that because it's a certain event?
Yes, it's because it's those races.
That particular...
So my buddy Peter Fornital is also wearing a top hat. You must dress up for these.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like every guy's wearing a top
hat. Everybody's wearing a top hat. That's right.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah.
Really nice. Really nice. So,
which of the three of us could rock the... Kelly, this is all you.
Are you kidding me? I would kill that. I would kill, to rock a top hat. Like, but the problem is these days you need an event like this to go to.
Oh, right.
You can't just show up in a top hat.
Can't show up at the show next Thursday with a hat.
You're not going to show up at work in a top hat? Now look at Kelly. Let's bring it back to the top hat.
Like, I'm not Slash, right? Slash who always rocks the top hat.
And a monocle. More with the Crack Man on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.